Okay, Mr. Chair, we are now live.
Well, welcome to the ADA Wednesday, April 14th board meeting. Call the meeting to order. I'd like to do a roll call for the voting.
Ms. Sandy?
Here.
Ms. McKinnon?
Here.
Mr. Kendig?
Here.
Mr. Fogel?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Mr. Bernie Carl?
Here.
Mr. Pruse?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. For us is an agenda, and I do want to make one addition to this. I would like to move the new business item B, resolution G21-09, and our access project fuel season, to open that up to discuss it.
Mr. Chair, you don't have your microphone on.
So that brings us to public comments. So I've got a little cheat sheet here, so make sure we get everything covered. Before we open the line to the public comments, I'd like to thank the callers on the line, particularly today, participating today. Just a reminder to keep your comments pertinent to the items listed on today's board agenda. Another friendly reminder, this is an opportunity for you to provide a comment. This is not a question and answer forum. If you have questions or would like additional information regarding topics on today's agenda, please email publiccomment@ada.org, and the ADA staff will more than willing to help you and get back to you as soon as they can. So with that, we will open the public comment. I do not see anybody in the conference room, so we will go online and open it up. I'll let you take it from here.
If anybody would like to make a public comment, please press *9. Once you are selected, please state your name and your affiliation.
Hi, my name is Benjamin Javier, and I am from NoAmblerRoad.com. Thank the board for this time. I'm actually here this morning to discuss what Chair Curtis just said that was going to be discussed in executive session, resolution G2109. It appears that the economic impacts described in the resolution, the CITA UAF study from 2019, say that the Amber Road is going to create 3,000 jobs during its construction. However, as reported by Wesley Early only about a month ago, Ramsey Fawaz estimated the road construction would lead to only 600 hires. I know that some of the UAF studies say that they are indirect or induced, but 2,500 seems optimistic. Before this meeting, I wanted to do my due diligence on the resolution and understand it and see how UAF arrived at their figure, but the link to the study is broken on the Ambler Access website. You can't find the study anywhere else on the Internet. This has been a consistent theme in the Ambler development. There are multiple 2013 studies that would be unpopular and negative Ambler assessments that are also no longer readily available. This brings me to the revelation that ADEA is under investigation for charges ranging from questionable procurement decisions to loan preference being given to companies owned by ADEA board members. I think this is certainly pertinent to today's agenda. An investigation is unnecessary because this is all on record. Chair Pruse and Vice Chair Carl personally benefited from the Alaska Cares loan program, which you created and which you shut down just days after your own loans were secure. Board has approved no-bid contracts for friends and political allies. Audits by the Department of Revenue have called the actions of this board inappropriate but legal. And this is what we know about. This is what you guys do in public. Inappropriate but legal. So I wonder what you do in executive session. The board was reminded last month that executive sessions, per the Alaska Open Meetings Act, are to be used as a rule infrequently. And yet Chair Pruse just added the resolution that I am here to discuss to executive session and still will go into executive session every single meeting, including nearly the entire meeting in which $35 million was approved to transfer to the joint fund. In my experience, people who do these things behind closed doors have something to hide. This is a billion-dollar project. The public deserves to know what is happening. Anybody saying it will cost less is a fool. I know the numbers that IDEA says, but it is a billion-dollar project. The Australian-Canadian mining companies are looking out for their own bottom line. The Chinese smelters are looking out for their own bottom line. IDEA needs to be looking out for Alaska's bottom line, but the evidence suggests that you are only looking out for your own bottom line. I am here to demand accountability and say no to the Ambler Road. Thank you to the board for their time.
Thank you for your comments.
Morning, Chairman Cruz. Can you hear me all right?
I can. Please, for the record, please state your name if you have an affiliation.
Yes, I will. I'm Ken Kastner. I live in Homer. I have three brief comments to make. One is I'm going to make my pro forma comment about having to wait to discover when you're going to have a meeting start. Again, I'll remind you the Open Meetings Act is really clear about establishing the time of a meeting. Number two, in your prior meeting that I sat through, you said that we should not hold you responsible for technical difficulties, but if the ADA AEA board really cares about public participation, you would make it a priority to make sure that the public can participate. I'd point out to you that in my lawsuit against ADA and AEA, the Department of Law has forthrightly declared that there is no right to participate at all. And so I would say that, you know, either it's a priority of the board or it isn't. And number three, I don't know why your strategic plan needs to be discussed in executive session. A strategic plan is a policy document that lays out where the board is going to go. This should all be done in open. It should all be done in public. I've just taken part in a three-week process with the Regulatory Commission that was entirely done in public. All their inner thoughts, all their wrinkles and warts and everything done in public through WebEx, by the way, which works a lot better than yours. And there is nothing wrong with public process at all. So with that, thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
Good morning. My name is Lois Epstein, and I'm a licensed engineer and Arctic Program Director for the Wilderness Society, which is a science and policy-based nonprofit membership organization that has worked to protect special places in Alaska since our founding in the 1930s. Today, I would like to raise some questions for the ADA board, and I am happy to email these comments to ADA staff as well. I am not alone expressing concern that ADA's public engagement processes, while not non-existent, are ineffective and need significant improvements. Why is there only a 5-day comment period on today's Ambler Road resolution, which involves expenditures of $13 million, $6.5 million from the state immediately, and the remaining $6.5 million being provided as a future toll credit to Ambler Metals if the road is built? I alone know two entities, one a multi-stakeholder organization with many tribal representatives, and one a scientist who are unable to comment given the short public comment time frame. Additionally, given that the ADA board goes into executive session immediately after hearing oral public comments, how can the public be assured that detailed comments are effectively addressed without hearing the executive session discussion or being provided with a document showing that all public comments were considered? Additional questions are, is the ADA board at all concerned about the expenditure of money for fieldwork this summer on the Ambler Road, given that there are two ongoing legal challenges, one from Canada Chiefs Conference and one from conservation groups, challenges of the federal government's records of decision? Another question is, why do the two Ambler Road resolutions and their supporting documentation not specify what COVID protections would be included in the fieldwork, particularly because COVID might impact remote Alaska village communities without adequate medical care? And last, though it has been asked previously, ADA staff and board have not adequately answered with precision the question of why Ambler Metals is unable to pay for the road itself, given that publicly available information about the Arctic mine that they will be developing shows it will be highly profitable. We believe if there was such a rigorous analysis, it would show that this is a losing financial proposition for the state, for indigenous communities, and for the environment. Thank you for your answers to these questions.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Ron Yarnell. I own a wilderness guiding business here in Alaska and have been offering trips into the Brooks Range since 1971. I live in Fairbanks. My comments are about the Amber Road. This road will obviously interrupt my business extensively. It will cross the rivers, most of the rivers that I've been offering trips in the Central Brooks Range and Western Brooks Range for the last 50 years. However, beyond my business, this road will also affect the lives and livelihood of everyone living along the road. Not one village along this route is in favor of the road. Ada is building this road. Ada, in building this road, will be working against the wishes of most of the local people and against the wishes of a significant number of Alaskan residents. Not all Alaskans want roads spidering across every corner of our state. Not all Alaskans work in mines that pollute and destroy our environment and are not sustainable livelihood. This corner of Arctic Alaska is one of the last regions in the state where people can live lifestyles that are sustainable. This road should not be built without the support of the local people. Therefore, I'm against it. If the local people wanted it, it would be a little bit more of a challenge, but you guys are not listening to the local people, and there's very little benefit at all to adjoining communities, and especially those in the Koyukuk. So if this road's built, it should be built in, and if the local people in the Kobuk Valley want it, then it should be built a different route. Thank you very much.
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hi. This is Nancy Wainwright calling, and I am here in Anchorage. I have addressed this board over the last 5 years about the Ambler Road, and I want to follow up on two comments that were just made. One is about the economic analysis that was done for the road. It's correct. You can't find that economic analysis online, but I did get a copy of it. I followed up with the UAS Center for Economic Development, and they didn't even have the same copy that I had a copy of. So the economic analysis is highly questionable. I think the main question is found in footnote 1 where it says the lifetime operation costs of ANDIAP were not modeled because the duration of operations is unknown. I don't know how you can do an economic analysis without knowing how long the project is going to be or determine how many people will be hired on that basis. Second of all, and most importantly, I think, is the failure for the past 5 years of ADA to engage with Alaska tribes over this matter, particularly those who are most affected and have voiced their opposition to the road. A request was specifically made to ADA to have a hearing where the tribes could participate rather than be relegated to a 2-minute comment period. The board chair and the executive director stated that those tribal comments must be in the public comment period. ADA has given hearings to Ambler Metals, to Rick Van Nieuwenhuizen, work sessions, to Nova Copper, to Ambler Mining over the past 5 years, and not a single hearing has been afforded to the tribes who are most affected. I think that needs to be remedied before ADA goes forward with any more impacts or studies that are going to impact those people in the region in their summer work programs. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
This is the last call.
This is the last call for public comments. If anyone would like to make a public comment, please press star 9. Once you are selected, please state your name and your affiliation.
Hello, my name is Anne Belaurier. I'm an Alaskan resident, and I have traveled, volunteered, and worked in the area around the Ambler Road, the proposed Ambler Road project. I have great concern about the project and about Ada's process in awarding funds and proceeding with this project that, as clearly mentioned, has a very questionable economic investment for the state. It kind of goes along with poor economic decisions made by the Ada board in recent months, as illustrated by the bidding on the 1002 leases that no other major oil companies were interested in. Alaskans deserve better with our investments. We deserve investments that have a return for our people, the people of the local region, as well as the state, rather than investments in outside mining companies that will take the money and leave a mess behind. So I want to express my opposition to the project as a whole and the process that Ada works by providing inadequate public commenting. I was on the call at 8:30 this morning as listed on the Ada website. And again, as you're going to go into executive session immediately after the comments, it's hard to understand how some of the more pointed and specific comments will be taken into account. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Alex Johnson. I am speaking to you as a Alaskan resident in Anchorage, as well as the Alaska Senior Program Manager for the National Parks Conservation Association, which is a national nonprofit member-based group working to protect and enhance the National Park Service. And I have spoken to this board previously about our continued concerns regarding the Ambler Road, both impacts directly to national parklands and park resources, as well as to the larger landscape and particularly to subsistence resource impacts that would affect people in communities across the entire region of Northwest Alaska. I would reiterate many of the concerns already addressed by other speakers today. I have personally witnessed the incredible difficulty for Alaskans to be able to publicly engage in Ada's decision making. Public comment opportunities have been very difficult due to the reasons already stated. And I am concerned about Ada's, Open Meetings Act conduct or lack thereof. Would also like to acknowledge the concerns around the economic analysis and the true feasibility of this road. Certainly we would hate to see impacts to the region and the people of the region without anything to show for it for the state except a huge amount of debt. I would like to restate those concerns and thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Nobody else ready to testify or make a comment? All right. Since there isn't anybody, I will close the public comment section. It brings us to item number 5, Prime Minister, March 3rd, 2021. I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I'd like to motion to approve the prior meeting minutes as stated.
This is Bill. I second.
So everybody had a chance to read them. Any deletions, corrections? Is there any objections to adopting the minutes as presented? Hearing and seeing none, they are adopted. Okay, brings us to under new business, item A, resolution G21-08, Ada Office Building Resolution. Alan?
Mr. Chair, before the board is resolution number G2108, resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority relating to the budget for capital work on its office building. I'd like to ask if Lex Sargento, our Chief Procurement Officer, ADA's Chief Procurement Officer, can join us here for information on the resolution. All right.
Welcome, Lex.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. So G2108 is a resolution that would allow ADA to gain access to funding currently held previous board resolution in the amount of $336,456.59. These resolutions were put in place to address a series of building priorities over the past 6 years. To get an update on the current building status, ADA conducted a building survey in August of 2020. We also conducted an electrical as-built in February of 2021 to reassess the building priorities. During these two acts, the priorities identified were the priorities that were identified were aging mechanical systems. Both projects summarized in attachments 4 and 5. Those are the electrical systems work and fan replacement. It is the recommendation that we utilize the held funds from the previous resolutions for these projects. Projected cost of both projects is in the amount of $325,000. Further, any funds uncommitted as of June 30, 2023 from the original amount will be unencumbered and transferred to the general account in the authority's revolving fund. Additionally, we are working on a couple of projects not highlighted in the assessment and or the as-built. Backlog lighting. We recently had lost power as of last summer. We are currently looking to resolve that, finalizing an agreement next door, which would allow us to tap into their power. We felt this was a cost-effective way to manage the issue. We also are currently doing a window caulking. We've had, frequent leaks in the building, and we would like to, we began the project in January of 2021 of this year, and will continue shortly after the weather permits. We are hoping that we get a good burn of the snow that will help us access the upper windows on the east side. We still do experience these leaks in the building, and once the window caulking is completed, we'll reassess the situation and see if we can't figure out what might be the cause of that. For the, so that would kind of conclude my update on the resolution in the building.
Okay. Questions from the board? Howard?
Lex.
Why did I know to look at you?
I appreciate everything you've done, especially the building assessment. I have yet to see a full assessment beyond the building itself. What are the other matters that are needed to be taken into consideration, such as the parking lot area outside the building? What are our expenses now and into the future? I'm still looking for that. I think it was requested several months ago. So it'd be great, and especially what the executive directors would like to see done to this building, so that we can get a true cost, not only that we need to do now, but also into the future. So I'd like to see that report, because the building assessment alone is only talking about the building. It's not talking about the grounds outside. I hear we also have some sort of water seepage out front or out back. So, all these things need to be taken into consideration. Just because the consultant put together 45 pages of a document doesn't mean that that's the complete assessment of the entire property. The other thing, too, here, maybe this is a Alan question, is that I'm going through the building assessment, and I'm looking at the estimated age, average life expectancy, and expected replacement date and estimated cost. Everything that comes up for 2020 and before comes up to about $250,000. So I still need clarification on why we should deploy over $400,000 for future use, and what is that going to be used for? I still don't have clarification.
Okay, through the chair, yes, no, I will. We will work on getting that complete assessment of the building outside of the building assessment.
How long is that going to take?
We should be able to have something for you by next board meeting.
Okay. And how much is the back lot lighting going to cost?
The estimation for the current plan for the back lot lighting right now is not to exceed $5,000.
Okay. And the window caulking?
The appropriated funds for that was $80,000.
How much?
$80,000.
$80,000.
Yes. Which has already been encumbered and reflected on the G1715 funds.
Okay. And so how much is left from the 2020 building maintenance fund?
That fund is approximately, well, actually,
$173,844,000.
Is left? Yes. Okay. With, oh, sorry. Go ahead. With with the current arrangement with G1715, as of June or July 1st, 2021, would be an additional $250,000 available to the fund, with a total of
$423,844
for 2021.
Yes, sir. So looks to me like you guys have enough money to pay for everything that's needed for the electrical work.
Yes.
So you don't need any additional funds.
Not at this time.
If I may add some information, please. There are certain unknown elements that are within there that we have through G1715 an allocation of that's been provided of $250,000 for us to identify for building activities. If we were to use exclusively the amounts that were within that fund, then we would be under obligation for, in some cases, emergency issues to come before the board to have allocation of additional funding. So I do have to respectfully disagree with our chief procurement officer on the amount of funding that would be available and can be used ultimately for these capital projects.
Mr. Chair, I'm all for having this money reallocated and used for building expenses. However, I still don't see a clear vision of what we're going to be using it for now and for the future. I don't want to give them an additional $400,000 for money to just be utilized for. I don't see a clear direction of building expense money.
Thank you, Albert. Further comments?
Yes. This is Julie. What's the status of the sale of the building next door? Is that still on the plans going forward?
Through the chair, you're referring to what we call 2 Central. Currently, we do have a RFP out for looking for interest on that.
And is that the power you're talking about tapping into?
Through the chair, no, it would be Champs Martial Arts, that adjacent to the back lot.
Right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Julie would like to make a comment. She has to...
Oh, there she is. Yes.
I'm not sure if this question is more for Alan or for Lex, but the pricing that you guys had for things like the caulking of the windows, were those prices done prior to the cost jump that we've seen, you know, during COVID and even before that when the cost of supplies were, you know, tripling or quadrupling? Is that what you guys are anticipating may cause cost overruns that you don't want to have to go back to the board before to allocate more funds? Is that what you're referring to as possible changes, Alan or Lex?
Through the chair, Ms. Sandy, I'm not quite sure if I understand the question. The estimated amount for the caulking project was $80,000, and we're currently on budget to hit that. As far as the cost overruns, I'm not familiar with any projects that I'm anticipating for that to happen. I believe what Mr. Weisner was referring to is just having the funds available if needed. I do feel that we have been efficient with the money that allowed and that we don't do any excess spending. I think that is reflected on the amount still available from 2020. We don't necessarily take on projects that we don't feel is unnecessary, and we do try to prioritize that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and that's my observation as well. I just was wondering if, you know, I know in construction projects, you know, well, worldwide, we're just seeing, you know, tremendous unanticipated costs related to, shortage of supply, but also things that were, you know, priced out previously, you know, even within 6 months, the price is quadrupling on some things. And so I was just wondering if you guys are running into that, but it doesn't sound like you are. Thank you.
Through the chair, with our current projects, we're not. We have been pretty diligent with the information that we've been communicating back and forth with vendors that we have been engaged with, and so therefore we've been staying in contact. I will say that we've been kind of careful in making sure that all these projects have been taken on during the COVID, and so there's been communication with vendors as far as what that looks like on their end, and we've been able to account for that for the money allocated or asked for.
Anna?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could for the general public, $80,000, for me, it sounds like a lot of money for caulking. Is there other activities that are happening, or can you explain or expand on why Ada believed that $80,000 was a bidded project that we should go forward with, knowing that the exterior and interior are almost entirely glass, I believe, but please.
Yeah. Through the chair, Mrs. McKinnon, yes, we actually did take on three different quotes for that. The $80,000 actually happened to be the best value for the agency. The $80,000 also includes, obviously we have a lot of windows if you were to kind of look through the our south side and our east side. It also accounted for window replacements as we see fit, just as you, as they were identified. It does not account for all the windows that need to be replaced, but we did identify early on, as you walk through the building, some windows that need priorities. And so the $80,000 kind of includes, obviously, the recaulking and the measures needed to reach certain heights of the windows, and then the materials, and, of course, window replacement.
You might add to the public, if you would, that it's a large building. How many stories is it? How many square feet are you looking at? I mean, this the public.
Hey, Brian, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You're not good.
Is there someone out there in case someone wants to get in?
Anyway, you know, the public for $80,000, they don't understand how big this building is. This is a big building. How many stories it is? How many square feet of windows? Because I'm thinking $80,000 is a pretty good deal when you look at how much glass is here, but. But they don't know that because the public have never been here and they've never seen the building.
Yeah, through the chair, to answer Mr. Carl's question, yes, this is a three-story building with four floors, and we're looking at 35,000-plus square feet. Oh, and also the other aspect of the building is that also needs to be accounted for. The age of the building is over 46 years old, and a lot of the maintenance that we're looking to take on has not been handled or taken care of previously, and so so there's also that to kind of account for there. So there's some upgrading that has to be done as well, and so we're taking those actions.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, in this building assessment, I don't see here where it says replacement windows. So that's what I'm getting at a full. I'm looking at for you to tell the board basically a story or a plan of action for doing building maintenance instead of coming back to us each time saying, oh, this happened. Oh, this is what's needed. This is what's needed. We need a plan. And it's not just for this year or for next year. It's for a multi-year plan. And like replacing the windows needs to be on there. So that's what I'm looking for is a plan from you to tell the board this is how we're going to spend the future dollars, and if we need additional money, this is what it's for. Because right now, all I see is the building assessment, and I see, like, if board member McKinnon didn't press you for the $80,000 figure on the caulking, no one would have known that that included window replacements. So we need a plan from you. At least that's what I'm requesting, Mr. Chairman, is a plan from procurement to tell us how we're going to spend the dollars in the future.
Thank you.
Are you all right with that, Lex?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we can expect that?
Yes.
All right. Further questions? I would just like to make a comment that you know, my years on the board here, I've noticed that there's been a huge improvement on both identification and cost management of the building. You know, before what we got was just a number and we're going to do all this and nothing really happened. There was nearly a follow-up. Things kind of just disintegrated. It's an older building, not particularly adept to what we do here as far as our mission, but it's what we have. And I would say that we will get Christmas presents from the time to time that we weren't expecting when you dig into more things, and we as a board should expect that. What I don't want to do is have you and your folks be resistant to letting us know the good, the bad, the ugly, right? If it's bad news, we want to give us the bad news. But be as detailed as best you can with it. And at least I'm not going to hold you accountable for something that you don't know. You know, pre-existing condition we don't know about. Your co-boss over there is laughing for some reason. But yeah. But at the end of the day, a big difference. And I appreciate that, Lex. It's well received. This is a work in process. And I think we'll get better and better at it. I do agree with Board Member Vogel that, you know, more detail is better. A plan, you know, how you best see it based on what you know, so that we can then join you in supporting that plan.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Any further comments? I'll take it out. Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Board Member McKinnon, I move Resolution G21-08, a resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority relating to the budget for capital work on its office building.
I think we heard it.
This is Bill. I second.
All right. Further discussion. I think my discussion is going to be that when this comes before us again, it'll be in a different format. A little bit more detail, so we can make a better informed decision. I will call for the question.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Carr?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. All right. That brings us to item number C under new business. Resolution G21-10, Ambler Access Road Land Access Agreement with Doyon. Alan?
Mr. Chair, before the board is resolution number G2110, which is a resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority relating to development of the Ambler Access Project with respect to a land access agreement with Doyon Limited to conduct pre-development activities. And Mr. Chairman, I would ask if we have as a guest Aaron Schutt, who is the president and CEO of Doyon, if he may be able to join us for the discussion and to field any questions from the board.
Welcome, Aaron.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
So again, for the record for the board, we have attending with us President and CEO of Doyon, Aaron Schutt.
Do you want to explain the resolution, what it does?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. What is before the board is a form of an agreement that has been reached between ADA staff and Doyon in order to access the land during the feasibility and permitting activities that we have that are defined under our development agreement with Amber Metals. and from the standpoint of ADA staff, are very appreciative of the discussions that we've had with Doyon and their openness in having the discussions about land access for these activities. I do want to highlight that this is only for the permitting and feasibility activities that are currently defined again under our development agreement, and it does not constitute a right-of-way in any manner with Doyon. It's very specific to these activities. And in this case, what it is specifically is a three-year agreement with a option for an additional year, depending upon agreement with Doyon, for a non-exclusive access by ADA of its contractors or agents, third-party permission or permitting from Doyon's Land and Natural Resource Department. ADA will ensure that each of its contractors or subcontractors binds themselves to the terms of this agreement. The permit is limited to field work necessary to assess the potential route of the right-of-way easement. And again, it does not represent a right-of-way. It's only the feasibility and permitting activities. ADA will enter the land and conduct activities that only under an approved plan of operations by Doyon. So we have to present ultimately in a timely manner the proposals that we have for the field season work, and they need to approve that plan. ADA is responsible for obtaining all necessary permits and other governmental approvals and for maintaining compliance with all applicable federal, state, and local laws while we're conducting those activities. And ADA will contemporarily provide Doyon copies of all submittals and correspondence with any decisions from those government entities, so they're able to track ultimately our obligations as we're doing those activities. We're paying a fee of $100,000 per year for this right of access to Doyon. And we're also providing a surety bond in the amount of $500,000 to ensure ultimately our compliance with the underlying agreements and those obligations. So ADA will also provide, and we have a full agreement with Doyon, that any of the data that's generated by these field activities will be shared as well with Doyon. And those is essentially the summary of the terms that we've come into play with for the rights of this land access.
Thank you. Questions for Alan? Well, Aaron, welcome to our board, and I understand it's warm in Fairbanks today.
I'm sitting in Anchorage today. I do understand it's super nice in Fairbanks this week.
Yeah, well, I thought you were in Fairbanks, so my apologies.
No problem.
Do you have any questions for the board, Aaron?
I do not.
Okay.
We want to express our appreciation to Alan and his team for working through this with us. We're very supportive of the agreement we have with in draft form here with NADA.
I think on behalf of the board, we appreciate Doyon's cooperation with us also. We look forward to a long and prosperous relationship, and whatever obstacles become before us, that we work through those in the best interest of everybody's. For everybody. Are there any comments from board members for Aaron?
I would just like to say this is Mr. Carl, and I would like to say this is Mr. Carl, and I just have to say thank you. It's I'm glad that you were able to work this out with Alan, and I think it's a very good start. You know, the first start on a long journey is the first step, and so thank you very much for taking the first step.
All right, further discussion. All right, I'll take a motion.
This is Mr. Carl. I'll make a motion that for resolution number G21-10, resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority related to the development of the Ambler Access Project with respect to a land access agreement with Doyon Limited to conduct pre-development activities.
This is Bill. I second.
All right. Commissioner Henderson?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chair. I just would like to put it on record that I am a Doyon shareholder, and if that provides some type of conflict in the voting process, I'd like to be recused.
So you're asked to be recused, or would you like us to make a determination?
Make a determination.
Okay. So what that really means for the board is that do we feel that there's a conflict with Commissioner Anderson voting on this resolution? And I will step up and say, I don't believe there is. I believe there's a lot of doy on shareholders, and it's in the best interest of the public. But that's my opinion. I'll listen to anybody else's comments. Anna?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Board Member Anderson, do you hold any rights different than any other shareholder in Doyon?
No, I don't.
And do you have any specialized interest in the corridor that is along the right other than any other Alaskan or Doyon shareholder?
No, I do not.
Mr. Chairman, that satisfies my questions.
Is there any objections, or Commissioner Anderson, to vote on Resolution G21-10?
Not from Bernie Carl. I think this is in the best interest of the state and Doyon, and I see no conflict.
No. All right. So there's no objection. So you're welcome to vote. Would you please roll call?
Roll call, please. Yes. The executive act requires a vote, and because
Julie
is remote,
it's remote. All right. So everybody, instead of asking for any objection as a vote, we have to physically vote. All right. Would you call do the roll call on the vote for the ethics?
Ms. Sandy?
And I just want to be clear that the question before me right now is regarding whether or not the board sees a conflict with Commissioner Anderson being able to vote
That's correct. If you'd like her to vote, the answer is no. If you don't want her to vote, the answer is yes. So no conflict is no.
Thank you. My vote is no.
Ms. McKinnon?
No.
Mr. Kendig?
No.
Mr. Fogel?
No.
Mr. Carl?
No.
Mr. Cruz?
No.
It passes.
No passes. There we go. All right. Back to Resolution G21-10. Would you please poll the board?
Now, the roll call is to approve the G2109. Ms. Sandy? Oh, 10, sorry. 21-10, I'm sorry. Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
Resolution has been approved.
Thank you. And again, our extreme gratitude and thank you to Doyon, your board, Aaron, and your shareholders. And hopefully we help you become proud of us as helping you with stewards of your precious land.
Thank you. Look forward to working with you on the project.
Okay. I'd like to go now to item number D, executive session. So that's going to end up. So there's obviously quite a few topics in our executive session, and the one we just added on the agenda change was the Ambler Access Project. So I'll remind where we're going to do that to add the Ambler Access Project. With that, I'll take a motion to go to the executive session.
Mr. Chairman, are we moving item number D to after executive session as well?
Yes. I did that earlier. Yes.
Then I move the board enter into executive session to discuss confidential matters related to the Alaska Energy Independence Fund Ambler Access Project 2021 Field Season and Plan, Mustang Holdings, LLC, John Schweiger Trust Loan Modification, Icy Strait Point Duck Point Development 2 Loan Modification, Intersea Discoveries Alaska Wilderness Adventure LLC, AK Ship Loan Modification, and ADA Strategic Planning Session. This is supported by the Open Meetings Act, which allows the board to consider confidential matters in executive session. In this case, the board believes that these are subjects which would have an adverse effect upon the finances of ADA, or are protected by law due to rules protecting personal privacy and certain business information.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any objection going to executive session? Hearing and seeing none, we'll go into executive session. We'll take a break and come back at by 11:30.
We are ready, Mr. Chair. We're back online.
Thank you. Well, welcome everybody back. It was a long executive session. We talked about a lot of different things that are important to the state and this organization. I'll advise that the board is not taking any formal action on the matters discussed while we're in executive session. I'm going to go back to our agenda, and under 6B, resolution G21-09, Ambler Access Project 2021 Field Season Plan. Alan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before the board is resolution number G2109, resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority relating to development of the Ambler Access Project to conduct certain final feasibility and permitting activities with respect to the 2021 field season plan and budget. Before the board is our proposal as ADA staff for ADA to spend up to $6.5 million from funds that are currently in the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund for 2021 pre-development work on the Ambler Access projects. The funds will be matched by another $6.5 million from Ambler Metals under the terms of the Ambler Access Development Agreement, which we signed with Ambler Metals in February of this year. Under the terms of that development agreement, ADA and Ambler Metals have designated a program manager with responsibility in putting in place the field season work plans and then implementing those plans for each of the seasons. That person that we have designated is Joe Kemp. I would ask the chair if we can invite Joe Kemp to be part of the discussion and run through the plan that is being proposed for 2021.
Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. Okay. So, working off the 2021 Ambler Road work outline plan here for the center. As we talked about, the program management piece here will be my portion of the work to administer the contracts over the next 8 months, and everybody that will be helping me with that. The next piece, the stakeholder outreach, also includes the external communications manager for the project, and also a stakeholder outreach consultant that will aid that external communication manager in such things, you know, communication with the public, outreach to for meetings and the such with all the communities that are affected. I also have work that will be done for survey and mapping, roadway and civil structure design in H&H. Those will naturally be put together for an RFP that will go out. That work will be the first year of several to complete the work for getting it to a point where we can go to construction.
Hold on just a minute, Joe.
Anna?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Board Member McKinnon. For those that are following online, Joe, are you following a particular document and is it posted online?
Through the chair, Ms. McKinnon, we have a board memo that is attached with the resolution that describes the field work as well as having appendices that are attached with it that goes through the budget and a summary ultimately of each of the individual components for that field work.
Mr. Chairman, so we could direct the public to a memorandum that's attached to the resolution that's dated April 14, 2001, regarding Ambler Access Project 2021 Field Season and Plan Resolution Number G2109. Is that accurate?
Through the chair, Ms. McKinnon, yes, that's accurate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to make sure the public could follow.
Okay, I'll keep going here. We'll have geotechnical investigations and drilling work that will be done this summer. How much of that we get done will be, again, it'll be a multi-summer field season for the drilling, and the geotechnical investigations and reporting will be ongoing throughout the years to come. Obviously, this year, the budget reflects what work I think they can get done in this year. There will be a facilities design component as well for the maintenance stations and any comm towers. Cultural resource surveys will also be a multi-year task, and the budget reflects a first year level effort of that. Wetlands mapping and permitting also will be put together into one RFP for environmental work. There is about 50 miles of wetlands mapping that needs to be done. A lot of it can be desktop review in the office. Some of it will have to be done out in the field, but that should be pretty light work. And then there will be permitting. How much permitting? I put on the sheet that no permitting will probably be done this year, because I think it'll be mostly field data gathering, and then probably sometime this time next year they'll start figuring out what permits we're going to need from a fish and game standpoint, and if we change any of the core permitting around or anything like that. There's also the outreach and independent cost estimator. That RFP is currently out and on the street for proposals due next week. And that work will entail doing an outreach for construction contractors to come on board eventually, depending on the procurement method that we choose, and then an independent cost estimator to go with that as well. There's also a logistics piece. That piece will be getting the field crews in and out of, in and off the alignment, into the villages that we'll be staging out of, food, housing, fuel for the helicopters that'll be going in and out, taking the crews, and all the helicopter work that'll be done there as well. There's also access agreements with Boyan and Nana to access their lands as we progress the design, and we currently are working on one with Nana to get that finalized so that we can access, make our access point to center as we wind out in the earlier strip. There's also right-of-way costs that we will incur from a National Park Service and BLM standpoint, and then there are also additional costs from the BLM reflected in the 2021 estimate that was attached that will show their involvement in the project, and also getting stakeholder engagement on their end and paying for that work to comment on reports and anything else they find as we go along. So that's it from a work standpoint for the summer.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
To the chair, to the board, what it also would highlight is that Joe has presented this plan and the proposed budget to Ambler Metals. They've had a previous board meeting that has ratified the plan, and just really wanted to get the information to the full board on that.
All right. On your memo, under Appendix D, MBA scoring criteria, there are, right now, I'll read it, in order to meet the qualifications under the MBA program, companies must be an Alaska-owned company, meeting the requirements under AS 36.39902, and show that they are one of the more of the following lists. Do you have some wordage for us, Stefan? Julie, would you like to speak to adding another
yes.
bullet point to this, please?
Yes. Thank you, Chair.
To the Chair, if I could give some background on the document. This agreement is what was required under their development agreement with Ambler Metals as an agreement between ADA and Ambler Metals in the establishment of a competitive procurement process. So ultimately, it's ensuring, again, the interest from Ambler Metals as well as from ADA is in ensuring that there is as robust a competitive process as possible for contractors that have an interest in participating in the Ambler Access Road RFPs that Joe Kemp, as our program manager, will be issuing, and any other future work ultimately for on the Ambler Access project.
Okay. All right. Julie?
So, yes, I just would like to request that we amend the procurement policy to add another line under eligible entities.
It would be bullet point number four.
Bullet point number four. To read a minority-owned small business self-certified, similar to applicable U.S. Small Business Administration procedures, is eligible. And but just to give you a little background around that thought process, that we want to make sure that we're inclusive of all minority business enterprises across the state that don't have time to take advantage of this procurement opportunity. We want to make sure we're not excluding anyone. So that's why they offered up this change, and I think it would be better for the state overall.
Thank you, Commissioner. Further comments?
I have one question for you guys. Can I, do you want me to add in the Small Business Administration, certified minority business owner through the Small Business Administration, or do we want to just not have that in there and use what the language that the commissioner just gave instead?
Well, Stefan will provide you the language.
No. I mean, we're going to add that one in that you said. Do you also want me to add in okay, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure you guys didn't want to add that in as well.
Further discussion on this. Is there any objections to adding this?
No.
Anna? No. Julie, no. All right. Julie, Sandy, are you on?
Yep, I'm on.
All right. Do you have any objections to adding a bullet point four to the scoring criteria?
Nope. Nope, I appreciate the amendment. No objections. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, so four is added to it.
So this is in, just for clarification, this is within Appendix D,
right,
to the again, titled the Amber Access Project Professional Services Procurement Procedure, Appendix D, which is page 10 of the document. We're updating that to add a fourth bullet point with language to be provided. And ultimately, we'll be listing this with the public document information.
That'd be great. Thank you. Okay, that brings us back to the resolution. Do I have a motion for resolution G21-09?
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I would like to make a motion to approve Resolution G21-09 Ambler Access Project 2021 Field Season and Plan.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? If seeing none, would you poll the board, please?
Ms. Sandy?
Yeah.
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Speak up.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Mr. Fogle?
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes. Commissioner Anderson.
And Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Sorry. Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Brings us to item number F, Resolution G21-12, Loan Modifications, Icy Strait Point, Duck Point Development 2. I will declare a conflict on this, as I have before in the past. And I will hand this resolution and discussion over to Vice Chair Carl.
Okay, so the resolution is now on the floor. I'll call for the vote. We've already discussed it. Oh, I thought we already had a motion. Do I have a motion?
Sorry. So how about we, if you want any discussion, and then you get a motion on the floor, the second, then you can vote. How's that work?
Alan, would you please discuss this for us?
Through the chair, Board Member Carl, we have resolution number G2112 before the board for a review, a resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority regarding modification of the authority of a loan, or by the, modification by the authority of a loan participation and a project development loan related to Unitotum Corporation. So also following what was highlighted, again, through the chair, Ms. McKinnon, we have a board memo that's attached with this resolution. It's also dated April 14, 2021, which reviews what is being proposed for the modification itself, and the terms of that is also being reflected in the resolution. I would like to ask our Chief Investment Officer, Morgan Neff, who has been handling this, to please speak on behalf of the proposal.
Thank you, Executive Director Weitzer. Unitotum, which operates Icy Strait Point, has been continues to be drastically affected by the moratorium with mega cruise liners. They're going into their second year of zero revenue, even though there's some potential optimism for a muted cruise season towards the end of this summer. Their business has been drastically affected. Their liquidity has continued to be drastically affected, and they're asking the authority to modify their current exposure, both through the loan participation program and the project development loans, to modify the agreements to allow quarterly interest-only payments from April 1st, 2021 through April 1st, 2022, therefore reinstating both principal and interest at quarterly payment due on the July 1st, 2022 date, a maturity extension for each of the loan that matches the principal deferral period, carbon offset prepayment covenant relief, the release of the $1 million reserve account for additional working capital liquidity, continued availability of the undrawn portion of the ADA expansion loan, and the ADA expansion, a monthly excess cash flow sweep above a 1.5 times debt service coverage ratio that will be used to repay the ADA expansion loan and any portion of the expansion loan that is converted into the term loan, and the immediate transfer of all marketable securities, including proceeds from any carbon offset certificates, into short-duration U.S. Treasury T-bills to protect the principal value of the cash balance. We're recommending to the board that they approve this due to the fact that they're now experiencing two straight years of zero revenue. This will help them preserve their liquidity and be available to address the 2022 cruise season, which is already shaping up based on the cruise landings and the scheduling that has been provided to Unitotum to date.
Through the chair, if I can make one slight correction that's represented within the memorandum that it will be posted, is that it's the release of reserves to be determined by ADA and Northrop. So at this point in time, that's what we're proposing.
Do I hear a motion to put resolution G21-12 on the floor?
I'll make a motion to put the resolution on the floor.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second.
Open for discussion.
Mr. Vice Chair,
yes,
this is Board Member Fogel. If I may ask a couple questions of our CIO.
Absolutely.
Morgan, has this borrower, are they current on their principal and interest payments today?
Well, this was previously modified to only incorporate interest only until the next quarterly payment that's due on July 1st. The one item that they have not made, they're not in their covenants on, are the carbon offset payments that were supposed to be used to offset any term loan exposure that ADA has provided them at the end of 2020.
So they've made their interest payment for April 1st.
I'd have to double check, but as far as I'm concerned, they're current, or as far as I know, that they are current, and there has not been a delinquency notice put on this particular credit.
And to your second point, are you insinuating that they have not met their covenants of their current agreement?
The current covenant within the direct lending or the project the project development loans required them to immediately prepay any exposure on the expansion loan with proceeds from the carbon credit program. That has yet to be satisfied.
When was the carbon credit program, when was the payout, or when was the payment?
The first payment, yes, sir. The first payment was made at the end of 2020, roughly the last week of December, and they're expecting a second payment in September of 2021.
When were we informed that we were not going to be paid under the agreements of the contract?
To my knowledge, we were never informed, and we reached out to the borrower in a proactive measure.
Okay. And if you also could explain why there's a provision in this loan modification for the borrower to move their securities into a more conservative portfolio instead of where they're at today.
We believe that is a prudent move due to the fact that we are proposing to provide liquidity relief for the borrower, and we do not believe it is necessary or prudent for them to be taking market or systemic risk with the cash that is a necessary liquidity measure so that they can face the 2022 cruise season in a strong financial situation with, you know, adequate liquidity.
Thank you. Mr. Vice Chair, I cannot approve this loan modification myself. I won't be voting in support of it because they have not met their current agreements with our current contract.
Thank you, Mr. Rowe. Anyone else? Yes, Commissioner.
Thank you. I understand that the cruise industry, the tourist industry, and industries throughout Alaska are facing very difficult times. I think that we should look into an option that they may consider that would be, as the American Rescue Plan funds become available, and we know that they have tourism-directed funds, that we look into, ask the staff to look into how they can utilize some of those funds to meet these obligations. And with that contingency, I would support this modification.
So you are asking then for a modification to the resolution that's before us now?
I'm just asking them to look into it.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Through the Vice Chair.
Vice Chair Carl.
Yes.
This is Board Member Sandy. I just have a quick question for Morgan. Morgan, prior to this loan modification, though, Huna Totem and this organization, through their tour operations, were current and were responsible partners with ADA in terms of their previous loan agreements with us. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. The borrower, as we know it today, is in good standing with the existing loan modifications outside of what has been previously discussed with the carbon offset payment has not been applied to the expansion loan on the project development side.
And just like everybody else, nobody's got a crystal ball, but the assumption is when the cruise industry is able to come back up to speed as they had in previous years, we anticipate that this borrower would be successful again.
Yes, ma'am. We've done parallel cash flow modeling alongside the company's cash flow model, and we believe that based on the transparency that they're currently seeing with 2022 cruise ship bookings, they will be in a position of financial strength in the next 12 to 14 months.
Yes, Anna.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Morgan, could you talk to us about any guarantees that might be on some of the loans under this borrower?
Yes, ma'am. The loan participation contains a 90% Department of Interior BIA guarantee. Now, that's approximately $18.4 million within the loan participation program. The remaining exposure with ADA, which is $12.3 million, is on the project development side and does not contain any specified guarantees outside of the covenants that we have administered through the loan program.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And then is that why that we have made recommendation number 7 for the immediate transfer of marketable securities to try to help from a loan perspective on Ada's books, that they have the cash in hand so that they can make the necessary payments to meet their obligations in the future?
Yes, ma'am. We do not feel, again, it's prudent that they utilize their excess liquidity in the market, and requesting that they immediately transfer those that liquidity into short-term or short-term treasuries or T-bills in order to protect the principal value of that liquidity.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there a consequence? Would we consider it the borrower in default if they did not follow through on that action, if it was part of our loan modification agreement with them, and call their loan immediately if they signed this agreement and agreed to these conditions? If they defaulted and did not have that in reserves for us, would we consider that a default in terms of the agreement?
If they're in default of any of the modification covenants, then it is my personal opinion that would accelerate the loan. So Ada chooses to do so.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With those comments on the record and mirroring the comments from Commissioner Anderson, this particular industry in Alaska has been particularly hard hit. And while I believe that we should have received a portion of this company's carbon credits as payment to pay off some of their debt, I can understand why they might have seen a different opportunity with those funds, and I do think that they should have consulted with Ada before they made alternate arrangements with those funds. But given the safeguards that are before us this afternoon, I can support staff recommendations before us as amended by Commissioner Anderson.
I'd like to ask, Morgan, if, say, for instance, is it your opinion, if there wasn't this COVID program and they were able to operate, they would have been able to take care of us? And this is strictly, this modification has strictly come about because of COVID. And would that be a fair statement to make?
Vice Chairman Carl, this is not a self-inflicted wound with their operations. This is, completely derived by the moratorium and the COVID-related issues with their operations.
Thank you. And then one follow-up question. If we did not approve this modification today, where would this leave them? Would they be in a spiral going out of control here, or is this the Hail Mary they need to save them?
This is an essential modification that will allow them to benefit from the 2022 cruise season without putting unnecessary pressure and impairment on their operations.
Okay, with that, that was good. That's going to help me change my decision. I was I'll be voting positive on this. I was a solid no, but. But I will be voting positively for this, and I'll ask Mr. Vogel to reconsider if he'd like to. Then we're going to call for the question.
You got to put it on the table.
Okay.
The motion on the table.
All right, the motion's on the table.
No. Ask for the motion.
Ask for the motion.
We have a motion on the table. It was moved by Commissioner Anderson.
You did?
Yeah.
Who seconded it?
And.
Okay.
And seconded it, yeah. Should go the rest of it. Yeah, thank you.
My bad.
I can do the roll call.
Would you like a roll call?
I would like a roll call, please.
Miss Sandy?
Yes.
Miss McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
I begrudgingly am a yes vote, but I must say they must stick to the terms of this new agreement. If they do not, they're in default.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
And Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Motion is passed.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chair. That brings us to item number G, Resolution G21-13, Alaska Ship Loan Modification, Intersea Discoveries Alaska Wilderness Adventures, LLC. Alan?
Thank you, Chair. Before the board is resolution number G21-13, resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority approving a loan modification for Wilderness Adventure, LLC. And as the chair highlighted, this is for Intersea Discoveries Alaska, which does business within Alaska as Uncruise Adventures. The loan itself was initiated through ADA's AK Ship Program, which was put in place to assist Alaska shipyards in gaining some additional cycle work for ships and vessels that actually work within Alaska's waters. Uncruise was the very first party to undertake that program, and this was the very first vessel that was worked on within that. That work was done at the Alaska Ship and Dry Dock in Ketchikan. So the loan was originally put in place in 2019. They had performed under the loan with COVID-19. They asked for a P&I, or payment principal and interest deferral, which was approved under our emergency regulations at that point in time. Since then, they were making some additional payments. They brought part of that current. The current request we have in front of us is to extend the maturity and to go interest only for a period of time, ultimately until July 1st, for them to be able to make a full payment under this loan. The reason being is that they need some additional capital in order to prepare for the current cruise ship season. Uncruise, as an operator working within solely within Alaska's waters, is in a very different situation than some of the bigger cruise ship industry participants because they're able to take bookings, and they're actually looking at a fairly significant year for them this year. So in two cases, what we're highlighting is, one, a Alaska operation that has used the AK ship program for ship work at our shipyards, and an operation, again, within Alaska waters that is able to have a beneficial season this year and not restricted by some of the moratoriums that have been put in place by our neighbors. With that said, I would ask that Morgan Neff, our Chief Investment Officer, please give a review of what's being proposed within our board memorandum that's attached to the resolution.
Thank you. The modification that is being proposed is as follows. All accrued but unpaid interest for January, February, and March of 2021 to be capitalized into the remaining outstanding principal amount. The modification would allow monthly interest-only payments from April 1, 2021 through the maturity and extend the current maturity date from March 1, 2021 to July 1, 2021 with a bullet payment of full principal and interest at maturity. These modifications would allow Uncruise to utilize their working capital as it ramps up a bright spot in the tourism industry as they start to roll out their 2021 cruise season due to the fact that their vessels are 90 passengers or less. It is an Alaska to Alaska immersive experience, and they are not negatively affected by the cruise ship moratorium that exists that's affecting all other tourism due to the fact that mega cruise liners are unable to operate in Alaska currently.
Morgan. Again, what I would follow up on is that as a fact that this is one of the AK ship loans was put in place, a modification for that. That is in general our $10 million facility that we put in place, program we put in place to really focus on maintenance and cycle work for vessels that operate within Alaska waters at Alaska shipyards.
Were they the first ones to use this?
Through the chair, Mr. Carl, yes, they are.
Alan, this is not that. This is a consistent with what we've done for the past 12 months with loan modifications for businesses?
Through the chair, yes, sir, it is. This is very consistent with what we did under our emergency regulations in reviewing these requests and the current requests and their ability to actually meet a payment date based on their cash flows.
Thank you. So if there's no further discussion, I'll take a motion, entertain a motion.
We'll make a motion to put resolution number G21-13, a resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority approving a loan modification for Wilderness Adventures, LLC.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Thank you. Further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the question.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
Motion is passed.
Thank you. Tim, on our agenda brings us item number 7. And, Alan, I would hope that it's fast.
To the chair, there's actually item number D, 6D, on the agenda.
Oh, okay. I got that cross-reference on. I missed it. I guess we'll go to D quickly.
Chairman, Board, this is a presentation on the very recently proposed legislation for the Alaska Energy Independence Fund.
We're not going to go through all these, are we? All these bullet points.
We could give a very high-level summary for you on what's being proposed. Currently, there's House Bill 170 and Senate Bill 123. It is posted on our website, the presentation.
Thank you.
And this is the same presentation that we have provided to the different committees that are currently reviewing, again, House Bill 170 and Senate Bill 123.
Okay.
And very generally, Chair and Board, what this is proposing is to put in place new statutes for ADA, allowing us to establish the Alaska Energy Independence Program and Fund within ADA, have initial capitalization through state appropriation of $10 million to start the fund. And the purpose of this fund ultimately is to address and maintain, invest in sustainable energy projects within Alaska that aligns with federal legislations for what has been commonly referred to as green banks throughout the U.S. And what we provide in the presentation is giving some background on why this is beneficial for the state of Alaska. We have within the state some of the highest energy demand, as well as some of the highest energy costs per capita that are being spent by our consumer base. So marginal improvements in the cost of power, cost of energy to our ratepayers actually has significant beneficial results for the state of Alaska, and our economic benefits that can be recycled back into the state. So we give additional information that's on that side. The purpose, again, of the fund is to align with federal legislation to allow Alaska to have a vehicle to receive those funds and to implement these types of programs throughout the state, urban and rural solutions. We're also proposing that we're working with our sister agency, the Alaska Energy Authority, in order to put together these different programs that would be focused on the state and ultimately AEA providing a technical capacity to ADA, which is providing through our expertise the financial side and structuring. Additionally, within the legislation and as discussed in the presentation, is an advisory board being established with initial 5 parties, all designated by the governor, addressing different competencies, skill sets that would provide beneficial input to ADA and through the benefit with AEA on the technical side, ultimately designing these programs. The general intent is to utilize the initial capitalization to work with local financial institutions that would ultimately provide leverage to that initial capital. So while the $10 million capitalization at this point sounds would not fill all the potential directives of this fund, it's giving us the initial capital to work with our local financial institutions and build that up. I would also ask our chief investment officer, who in the management of this fund is the party is going to be designated should it be located within within ADA. So I would ask Morgan Neff, our chief investment officer, please speak a little bit about how we benchmarked the fund.
Absolutely. So as Mr. Weitzner said, the initial capitalization is going to be targeting, you know, critical partnership with the local and private capital providers within Alaska in order to really leverage that initial capitalization in a multiple fashion. And what we have seen is that the successful ventures down in the United States with the other green banks have successfully been able to leverage for every $1 of green bank or the fund capital, they've been able to leverage private sector capital anywhere from $6 to $8. For example, Connecticut last year allocated just under $37 million, but was able to go out with total investments of just under $311 million. So they've got roughly about an $8 to $1 ratio between private sector capital and green the fund capital, which is they're called green banks, but they're not any way, shape, or form associated with a bank, nor do they compete with banks. And again, the partnership with that financial community is critical. The capitalization was determined by taking not only the New York Green Bank, but the Connecticut Green Bank and Montgomery County Green Bank in Maryland, and looking at what their initial capitalization was, looking at their GDP, looking at their GDP per capita, and then looking at their total energy expenditures per capita, and then looking at how the relationship between the initial capitalization, their energy needs, their energy demand, and their energy consumption related to that initial capitalization. We then determined that due to Alaska being nearly two times the national average on energy consumption per capita, total dollar value, it weighed into the factor of it needing an approximate $10 million in initial capitalization in order to fulfill its mission of sustainable energy development throughout all communities. Additionally, the fund will look at all communities, rural, urban, and look for ways to develop sustainable energy projects as defined by the National Accelerator Act, which is set up to drive $100 billion of appropriations to either initially capitalize or to provide operating capital to all local state green banks that are interested in doing so. And we believe that with the establishment of this fund, we'll be able to access those funds if the legislature is approved at the national level.
And with this, again, Alan Weissner, with this, ADA's expertise in establishing these financial programs,
right,
presented ultimately through our loan participation program, the development project finance programs that we put in place, our management through the SETS funds, ultimately how we're managing funds through the Arctic Infrastructure Fund, are all representative of how we would be establishing this fund as a separate account within ADA, defining the financial tools that are necessary for it, working with our sister agency on the technical capacity side, and then also working with the advisory board in recommending establishing different programs that we would then propose ultimately to ADA's board, given the corporate governance in place within ADA. So, again, in matching with our statutes, our expertise in-house, the fact that we are Alaska's Development Finance Authority, it all matches together that this is a good home for the Alaska Energy Independence Fund, and we would be good stewards ultimately of that capital.
So, Alan, just for the record, clarify, we're an enterprise business and how this actually produces additional capital for the organization to deploy elsewhere.
The way that the programs are set up, and again, using other, again, effective green banks as being that reference, which we are benchmarking against. These are not subsidies or grant programs. These are loan programs that are put in place working with the local financial sector that is bundling smaller loans or creating credit enhancement structures that eliminate the barriers for investment. And from that, there's return of capital and return of capital, which is then ultimately reinvested within the fund, which expands the amount that's put in place for these sustainable energy projects within the economy. It also builds the clean energy sector. So, again, underlying and answering the question directly, Chair, these are not grants or subsidies. These are loans that are ultimately having return and return of capital.
And any loan or return of capital has to stay within the program?
The way it's currently written, yes, sir.
So that would be a challenge for ADA to use its revolving fund, put money into it, because we couldn't get a return on that money.
It is designated specifically for the definition purpose, which is sustainable energy development within the fund itself.
Okay.
All right. Questions, Alan, on the presentation? Or Morgan? Anna?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As someone who's been involved and Alaska energy issues for some time. There is always questions between rural, urban, and remote Alaska. Can you talk to me at all, or so that the general public can understand the concept of how all Alaskans would benefit versus just a select group of Alaskans?
Certainly, through the chair, Ms. McKinnon, what we'd like to address is the fact that, the way the legislation is written is to address what we've specifically highlighted in working with, again, I want to add in this case the fact that we've been working with Renewable Energy Alaska Project, Chris Rose, as well as the Coalition for Green Capital, in how this legislation is put together. And we've identified the fact that every one of these, again, benchmarked green banks views their programs on a very local basis. And Alaska has very unique energy requirements. One of those unique energy requirements is exactly the point you're highlighting, the differences between urban, rural, and remote locations. So the different programs that we were put in place and the flexibility of the definitions of sustainable development projects within the legislation is to address those unique energy issues for Alaska. So we would be looking at input from the advisory board as well as input from Alaska Energy Authority's experience in rural and remote locations and how we specifically address those communities in addition to the urban communities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Again,
just one comment, thank you. I think this can be an excellent tool for Alaska to help address the high cost of energy. And I'm really pleased that we're able to take advantage of this. So, thank you.
It looks to me like this is going to be the best bang for the buck of anything I've ever heard of. It almost seems too good to be true, right? I mean, this is a pretty interesting way of making things work.
Thank you, Bernie. Anna?
Mr. Chairman, as I understand it, there is a piece of legislation that's been introduced. Is it by ADA?
Or we are the sponsor of the bill, yeah.
Mr. Chairman, is it appropriate for the board to take a vote to support the legislation, or is that implied with our team doing it? I'm wondering if a formal resolution would add any help as it moves through the process if we developed a resolution as a board that we endorsed the concepts that are there and the opportunities that we see for Alaskans and for remote, rural, and urban Alaska to reduce energy costs based on a program like this. I just throw it out for consideration if it's implied because we sponsored the legislation or helped craft the legislation. That's fine.
So, Anna, you're the most experienced legislator here. So what is your advice?
Mr. Chairman, I think a board resolution in support of the bill is appropriate. When executive directors or others put together a piece of legislation, it's nice to have a formal vote where a group of people either oppose or support something. We see that frequently in projects from many different advocacy groups, and we may have specific reasons that may not be apparent when you try to read a bill. And so I have read the bill once, and from my perspective on the onset, I had all kinds of questions until I got to the very end of the bill, where it's where the heart actually lies. And the heart of the bill is trying to address the high energy costs that Alaskans face. But unless you're willing to read the entire document, you may walk away thinking that ADA is trying to do something very different than it, that is actually proposed in the legislation. And so I made it through the whole bill, so I understood the concepts that were laid out. But I think that sometimes headlines get in front of what is actually reflected in a product, and I just would want to make sure that Alaskans, from my perspective, across our state, would support the reduction of energy costs in their communities, and they would support us partnering with local utilities or other groups to try to find what would fit best in their community to advance. And I know that When I served previously in the legislature, there's actually a regional plans that are out there for different components and how they would like to see energy deployed from a renewable perspective inside of those regions, and they may even have more community-specific goals. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. So while we're, I've got a couple quick questions. While we're texting, maybe you could draft up a quick resolution 21-14 for us. Supporting the AK energy independence. Yeah. Well, just a second. I want to put some more on the table. So, Alan, does this fit with our strategic plan?
To the chair and to the board, I believe it does fit with the strategic plan, and you know, with the sessions that we've had in September, with the sessions we had in February, and the review. Ultimately, from today, I believe that it does fit within our strategic plan.
Okay. And I noticed, at least maybe I looked at it too fast, but I didn't see a memo from you discussing the legislation, what it does.
The purpose of for the agenda was to make the presentation to identify what to go through ultimately what is being proposed. We have provided previously to the board the legislation information as well as the bill analysis that went along with that. So that has been provided.
Okay. So maybe with our resolution that you provide some overview as executive director. Good thing.
Mr. Chairman, I would recommend that our executive director draft a resolution in concert with AEA's executive director and bring back the highlights and bullet points so that we can make sure that everyone understands why we believe this will benefit remote, rural, and...
Is timing of the essence here or no?
Is it going to pass this legislative session? It's currently under review right now within the House and within the Senate, but this is just the initial reviews that are being done.
It's pretty late in the season.
Why don't we just vote on the resolution now, and then you can then provide it as legislative information at a later date with your memo. Why don't we just do that? I'm just trying to be proactive here that we're good. Okay, so... why don't we pull the board resolution supporting the Alaska Energy Independence Fund legislation?
Do we need a motion? Do you want to put a motion first?
We can.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. We'll call this resolution G21-14, that the ADA and the AEA boards are in support of the Alaska Energy Independence Fund.
Is there a second?
I second that motion. Very.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question? On the board.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Pruz?
Yes.
Motion is passed.
Thank you. Okay. That's a good call, Anna. Thank you. Yeah. And that brings us back to where I was trying to go before I forgot. D, that's under 7, A through D, Ellen.
Mr. Chairman, just looking at the information, what we're reporting on is what has been requested by the board for either monthly or quarterly updates. And what we have in first place is the board resolution report on their status. So this is available for your review. There's nothing to really identify specifically for, that is outstanding on this, other than it's the listing of the resolutions that have been passed and their current status. We have the loan dashboard report, which is reviewing the loan participations that we have in place, as well as our direct loans. So this is reporting on that side and giving the information ultimately on their breakdown between the regions within Alaska, as well as the regions within the different sectors that they're involved in. What I would highlight is that we have currently in place total loans and combined that's amounting to $518 million. So this is including the Loan Participation Program as well as our direct loans. So Loan Participation Program itself is about $450 million. The current fundings that we have in place as far as commitments for loan participations that are outstanding is roughly $25 million. And there are $2.7 million worth of pending applications for loan participations, and there are zero outstanding or pending commitments or ultimately loan participations that are currently being reviewed. So at this point in time, the $25 million in loan participations are commitments that have already been reviewed and commitment letters are outstanding under that program. Then the other reports that we have in place is requests relative to two development programs. We have the G1118 report, which was an initial development funding program that ADED set up in 2011. And those funds have been fully committed. There have been no additional funds added to that. This is the same report really since its last utilization, which was for the Ambler Access Project prior to our defining the funding for the Arctic Infrastructure Fund and the agreement that we put in place with Ambler Metals. So there will not be any additions to this G1118 report or any changes ultimately to this report. The G1921 report is really relative to resolution in 2019 that approved a certain amount of funding, roughly an amount of $700,000, and an additional amount of funding in the amount of $212,000 for the West Ascena Access Road. Both of those fundings were for specific phases of those projects which had been completed. There is roughly $11,000 that is outstanding or has been unused for West Ascena and would be returned ultimately to the revolving fund. And there is a little over $66,000 that looks to be uncommitted at this point in time with Ambler for those designated fundings.
Question on that. What is the status
of the West Coast Access Project? Sure.
We're not involved in any
field work. Through the chair, Commissioner Anderson, we have completed phase two. HDR has completed that work as of February and has provided that report. We're currently engaged in discussions with the Matsu Borough and private sector parties that are resource owners along the route as far as what is defined for phase three. The anticipation is that we would look at the amount of work that's necessary to get us to a point of initiating a NEPA application by February of next year. The final amount of that work has not been determined, and we are currently working with those parties to see if what amounts of that would be included in phase three. The intent is a review and presentation ultimately with the Matsu Assembly that would have to occur in May or possibly June. The same thing would then be subsequent to that meeting would be a presentation to ADES Board.
Thank you.
And then we have the information on the project matrix, which is reviewing ADES direct project development finance projects and their associated fact sheets.
Thank you. All right. I can't believe it's May. It can be May.
I know. Not to be a Debbie Downer, but in the 2 months, we start losing daylight.
How can you even say that?
I know.
How can you even say it?
We just had a snowstorm.
We had 2 feet of a
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe how many roofs collapsed. I mean, Spinards, this is the second time, 2 years in a row, yeah. And they're a lumber company.
Okay, so that brings us to item number 8, board comments. Do we have any comments? Julie?
I'd just, again, like to thank fellow board members and staff. It was a very busy meeting, as I think they all are. But I know a lot of work goes into it, and I appreciate everyone's time, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we heard from multiple people on the Ambler access and on the electric vehicles this morning in two different meetings, one at our AEA meeting earlier today, and then during the public comment period for ADA. And I just wanted to say that, and you said it on the record, Mr. Chairman, that you appreciated their comments, as did others. I just wanted to echo that. We are listening, we are hearing, and we are trying to gather data, and their input is valuable so that we make sure that we ask the right questions and that we put in place through our procurement and investigative research process the right tools to ask the right questions. And while we don't respond to questions from the microphone during the meeting, those public comments are taken and work with different project team leaders or with our executive director so that the board better understands each of the comments that are raised. And so I just wanted to make sure that we put that into perspective as we heard from different folks as concerned along the Ambler Road corridor specifically. That was a majority of the testimony that we heard today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Anna.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would like to personally thank all the staff. Again, this is a pretty doggone Herculean job that has to be done. I really appreciate the fact that Doyon was brought in and come aboard on Ambler. I mean, for Fairbanks, for Frankson, they're a huge part of the Fairbanks economy, and I really appreciate the work that's been done there. And it sounds like they are happy with where they're at. And I think they're going to be a very good partner in the future because of the way they were treated. As far as the calls that come in, I want to echo what Anna had to say. I really appreciate the fact that, Mr. Chairman, you really were very helpful today to the people. Even though they were on the wrong meeting, you were helpful, very considerate. It's very much appreciated. And I really do think that we have to look for what we've been doing for the last 30 years, that's what we've been doing for the last 30 years. But I think we need to work towards being a little more friendly towards the public, and today was a very good start. So I would like to I would hope that you and yes. Curtis will get together and figure out how we're going to be able to put something together so the public feels like they have a time they know they can call in and be heard. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Albert, no. And Julie is off, and Alan or Bill left. So I want to reiterate my thank you to the staff. Long day, covered a lot of things. Wish all the best to those folks out there fighting the fight under the economic conditions the state is experiencing. It's very challenging. I'm certainly appreciative of ADA, the tools that we have to offer for those businesses that are viable and are trying to make a difference in our great state. I'd like to thank the board for a long day, indulgence. I think we got a lot of positive information. I just really, I enjoy the passion from both the board and staff, no matter what the topic is. It brings out the best, and you get all the good information, so you make the best decision. With that, I will move for adjournment.
This is Albert. I'll motion to adjourn.
Second.
Any objections? We are adjourned. Thank you.